verses 25 through 35. And if you don't have a Bible, you can find the text on the back of your order of worship. So hear the word of God. When they found him, that is Jesus, on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." And then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you would teach us what it means to be satisfied with Jesus. What does it mean to have all of our longings fulfilled in him? Pray that you would open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. I also pray that you'd be in my head and in my thinking, in my heart and in my understanding and in my mouth and in my speaking. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen and amen. Well, it was just over 20 years ago when I joined the Army when I was 17 and, you know, went to basic training and airborne school and got to the Ranger indoctrination program. Right? That's basically 6 weeks of physical abuse to see if they can make you quit. And then you get to go be low man on the totem pole at a Ranger battalion. And I remember the first day of the Ranger indoctrination program, a sergeant named Sergeant Attaway, I'll never forget him, he stood up and said, "Gentlemen, those of you who make it through my program will remember this every day for the rest of your life. Those of you who don't make it through will also remember it every day for the rest of your life. It just won't be as pleasant." And I thought he was crazy, honestly. I thought, you know, I sort of laughed my way through the Army. But, you know, he was right. I literally think about that every day of my life. Eventually, once you make it through all that stuff, you go to Ranger School, official Ranger School. I entered Ranger School at 150 pounds, and I graduated Ranger School at 123 pounds. And the question is, you know, how could you lose so much weight? I was pretty skinny already. And the answer is you get one meal a day for 58 days and 2 hours of sleep a night. Average. Sometimes you get three, sometimes you get one. But keep the figure in your head, 58 days. That's an important figure. And basically it's broken into three phases. You have a city phase and then a mountain phase and then a Florida swamp phase. I had the good fortune of going through in the dead of winter. And so you go through and basically all you have to do to pass is you have to pass 50% of your patrols, right? They'll come out and they'll say, "Ranger Allen, today's your day. You know, you're in charge of everything." And they'll grade you after. And if you pass, good. And if you don't. And so you make it all the way through. The last phase is Florida, which is the most miserable phase. And on day 57 of Florida, there was a guy named Jones. That's not his name, but in case he's listened to the podcast, I don't want him to be embarrassed. There was a guy named Jones who on day 57, remember 58 days and you're home free, day 57, he walked forward and quit. He passed his patrols. All he had to do was gut it out for one more day and he quit. Why did he quit? Because he was hungry. He was hungry. I mean, he clearly quit for two reasons. One is he must have had a horrible Ranger buddy. I don't remember his Ranger. Your Ranger buddy's primary job is to keep you from quitting. Right, I tried to quit a few times. It was the hypothermia that got to me. And but anyhow, he on one hand, so he quit because he didn't have someone to sort of hold him in there. But the other thing, he basically exchanged momentary satisfaction for what would be long-term satisfaction, and at least in military terms, what would have been glory. Right, there's nothing more glorious than to stand on the field and get a Ranger tab pinned on you. And yet, his own hunger and his own need to be satisfied in the moment took over every bit of his person, and he walked forward and quit, and we could not believe it. I mean, frankly, most of us were glad to see him go because he whined a lot because he was so hungry. But nonetheless, if he had just waited one day, he would have been satisfied forever, if you will. Tonight, we're going to look at this passage where Jesus talks about him being the bread of life. And really, it's about satisfaction. It's about what fills your soul, what feeds your hunger, what actually slakes the thirst in your heart. We're going to look at three things tonight. First thing, we're going to look at the longing filled, the nature of faith, and the name of the bread. Right? The longing fulfilled, the nature of faith, and the longing and the name of the bread. So let's look first at the longing. Well, let me look first at the context. It'd be helpful. If you have a Bible, in verse 14, it says, when the people saw the sign he had done, they said, this indeed is the prophet who has come in the world. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew to the mountain by himself. What's the context of this passage? It's basically Jesus has fed the 5,000, right? Even if you're not familiar with the Bible, you've heard that story maybe. Jesus has fed 5,000 people, and then people are basically following him around now, and they think, maybe this is the prophet. Maybe this is the one who's come. Let's make him king right now. And Jesus basically wouldn't pander to their need for a king. I mean, they needed a king, but they didn't need the kind of king they thought they needed. They wanted a physical king who would come and rescue them from the Romans and what have you. And Jesus wanted to give them something else. Instead of pandering to their felt need, he wanted to meet their real need. So they were following after him, and he hid himself from them. And eventually, in our passage, they find him, and they engage him. And so let's look first at the longing. In verse 25, it says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father has set his seal. Okay, I love reading these dialogues with Jesus. You ever notice that Jesus never answers a question? They said, teacher, when did you come here? He said, truly, truly, I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, you didn't come seeking me because you wanted a sign. You came seeking me because you ate your fill of the loaves, basically, and you want some more. So they look at Jesus as now maybe he's going to be their sugar daddy. He's going to be the one who can make sure they constantly are fed because, you know, in the ancient Near East, that was always an issue. And here's a guy who can just snap his fingers, I guess, and bread appears. And so he says, you didn't come to me because you're seeking a sign. You came to me because you wanted your fill. You wanted to be filled. And what did they say? They don't really say anything yet. He tells them, he says, don't labor for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father has set his seal. Now, on one hand, there seems to be a contradiction in here. He says, don't labor for food that perishes, but instead labor for that which the Son of Man will give to you. So which is it? Do I work for something to get it, or do I receive it from Jesus? The key here, I think, is really the answer to a question is, Jesus, who do you think you are anyway to even be saying this? They come up and they want to engage him. Where are you from? When did you come here? All this kind of stuff. And he engages them about bread. You came after me just because you want your fill of loaves. Don't labor after that which is food, but labor after that which the Son of Man will give you. And he says, for on him the Father has set his seal. That's key, because the question is, Jesus, who do you think you are that you can even be offering anything? Who do you think you are that you can just tell you? We asked you a question, and now you're telling us, don't work for bread, and the Son of Man will give you something. The key is the fact that God the Father has set his seal upon the Son of Man. What is that seal? It's the seal of approval. In other words, on one hand, they're saying, you know, how can we be filled? How can we be satisfied? How can we? And he says, the Son of Man will give it to you because the Son of Man has God's approval. You see, the thing that you and I need in order to be filled, first and foremost, is approval. Right? Almost every person that I know, one way or the other, is completely and utterly insecure. Right? And you're either insecure, and so you're constantly trying to control people, you're trying to control your environment, trying to control yourself, trying to control your family, Or you're insecure and so you control people, or you give the air of not caring about anything, right? That's the way I do it. Right? You can either act like you care about everything or act like you care about nothing, but at the end of the day, you're really trying to make people like you, and you're trying to gain approval. And Jesus says, I have the approval of the Father. And the thing that you need most of all to be satisfied and for the hunger in your heart to be filled is for you to have approval. And the question is, do you have God's approval? How do you earn God's approval? Do you work for it? Son of Man gives it to you. How does he give it to you? He gives it to you by virtue of his cross, right? Jesus goes to the cross and is crucified. The only one who had God's complete approval goes to the cross and bears God's utter disapproval of sin. And for whoever would believe in Jesus, God gives them the approval that he gave the Son. He grants it to us, right? That's the gospel in a nutshell. And the question is, do you have that? Because if you have it, you're well on your way to being fulfilled. And if you say you have it and you don't feel fulfilled, then the question is, do you really have it? Or do you really believe it? You see, because on one hand, you hear something like that and you think, well, he's just talking to people who aren't Christians yet. They need to trust Jesus in order to be filled and have a great life like I have. Have you ever noticed most Christians are pretty miserable? They really are. The reason is because you not only need Jesus' approval in order to enter his kingdom, but you need his approval in order to live in the kingdom and to continue in the kingdom. You see, God's approval of us is completely and utterly bound up with his approval of Jesus. And the great hope that you and I have is that he has put his seal upon Jesus as completely and utterly approved by God, if you will, completely and utterly acceptable. And so to whoever is bound up with Jesus is also completely and utterly acceptable to God. There's only one catch, right? And what is that catch? They ask the question. They want to know. He's got their attention now. And what's the catch? What do we have to do to get that? What do we have to do to get God's approval? What do we have to do to get our longing filled, to be full of bread? And that leads us to the nature of faith. Notice what Jesus says. Verse 28 says, then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered him, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's it. And some people get extremely uncomfortable when I say it, that finally. But did you notice Jesus didn't say anything else? In other words, Jesus didn't say, okay, here's the work you have to do. First of all, you need to join a Bible study. You need to learn the Gospels. You need to learn the whole Old Testament. You need to learn all this stuff. You need to be good for a good long time. And also, yeah, you need to trust me. But really what it takes is to be very godly and holy and all of these things. Then you'll be acceptable. That's the work of God. Did you notice what he said? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in his Son whom he sent. And actually, the two go together. You know, all of your problems, whether you're a Christian or not, go back to the fact that you really don't believe in Jesus or believe his promises. I don't mean like you don't believe it, you're going to lose your salvation, but I mean you don't believe it in the moment, right? When you think, you know, you ask the question, for example, and I used to ask church planners this question all the time, why do people lie? You ever thought about that? Why do people lie? Or maybe you can split it up, make it easier. Right? Why do people who are not Christians lie? And why do people who are Christians lie? Okay, people who are not Christians lie, I'm assuming, to cover their backside. Right? They assume that the consequences of telling the truth is going to be harder to bear than if they told the untruth, and so they cover their backside and they tell a lie. And the message for that person, if you're here tonight, is there is a God who promised he would cover your backside. In fact, he did already. Not only did he cover your backside, but he took the punishment for all the other times you lied. That's what you need to hear. Now, the more interesting question on this hand is, why do Christians lie? If you're a Christian, why do you lie? Why do you spin the truth? Why do you do that? I do it. Same reason. You need to cover your backside. And you know what the message is for you? I thought you believed that there was a God who was going to cover your backside. I thought you believed that Jesus had done everything. And if Jesus has done everything, then he's never going to fail you or forsake you. Then why can't you tell the truth? You see, all of our sins, they go back to what we really believe about Jesus. And the question is, when you're struggling with a sin, the question you need to ask yourself is, where's my malfunction with Jesus? Where's my malfunction with my belief? It's not just something that I can change. The question is, Jesus, what is it that you offer me that I am not feeling like I am filled up on? Is it intimacy? Is it love? Is it tenderness? Is it care? Is it something? Are you going to Jesus and telling him, Jesus, you know, I've got all this sin in my life, and the reason I've got it is I'm going to assume is that I'm trying to get something that you promised to give me, and the question is, are you going to give it to me or not? And the answer is, yes, he will give it to you, but you got to go to him. That's the work that God demands, is belief in his son, Jesus. And of course, hearing that, he's got their attention even more. And they ask him, notice how they engage him. They say, so they said to him, that, you know, then what sign do you do and that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. So Jesus has told them this. And so they immediately think, well, maybe he's a prophet. Maybe he is a prophet like Moses. And so they say to him, what sign do you perform? You know, Moses gave us bread in the wilderness. What are you going to do? What great thing, what magical thing are you going to do to impress us? Now, the interesting thing, when you read through the Bible, if you think about it as you're going along, how he just fed 5,000 people. He just did it. Now, that's a pretty big sign, I would imagine, and yet they say, what sign now? Give us a new one. Give us something bigger, something better. What is it going to be? And what's Jesus' answer to them? He corrects them. Did you notice that? He said it wasn't Moses who gave you bread in the wilderness. It was God who gave you bread in the wilderness. And it's God who gives you bread in the wilderness right now. And it's interesting because you notice the way he refers to bread. Not only does it come from God, but the bread seems to be a person that he's talking about. And not only does it seem to be a person, but it seems to be a bread that's big enough and broad enough to feed the whole world. And if someone said that to you, what would you say to them? Jesus, they said, sir, give us some of that bread then. Give us the bread. Now you got to keep in mind, in their mind, in the Jewish mindset, bread would have meant one of two things. Bread was a metaphor for the law. And bread was a metaphor for mercy, or meeting someone's physical needs. So on one hand, Jesus saying, you know, I've got the bread that you need. And they had to have been thinking he's either talking about law, something that's going to help us be better people, or he's talking about food, which is going to help us be fuller people, I guess. We do the same thing today. Right? We do the same thing, depending on where you are with Jesus. You know, conservative folks tend, when they go to Jesus, they want bread. But when they talk about bread, really, they want more law. Jesus, tell me how to be good. Show me how to be good. And not only show me how to be good, but show me how to help other people to be good. And that bears itself out in the political world. And ultimately, it ends up with people being upset because, you know, conservatives are trying to enforce their morality upon us. Well, liberals, on the other hand, do the same thing, but not with law, but with mercy. Right? Jesus, show us how to be merciful, because if we're merciful, then you'll be more pleased with us. And ultimately, maybe we can make everyone else be merciful too. And as long as we can impose our mercifulness on everyone else, then we'll be happy. And then conservatives say, oh, you can't enforce your laws on me. You see what's happening. Both people miss the point. Because the point isn't getting more law from Jesus, and the point isn't necessarily getting more food from Jesus. The point is getting Jesus. Because they say, sir, give us this bread. I mean, he has them exactly where he wants them. They're begging him for bread. Give us this bread right now. And did you notice how he replies? And that's the name of the bread. The name of the bread is Jesus. Right when they say, sir, give us this bread, listen to how Jesus replies. Jesus said to them, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. What is Jesus telling them? Same thing he's telling us. Are you hungry for something? He gets you to the point where you say, I'll do anything. What is it going to take to get my life straightened out? What is it going to take for me to be forgiven from my sins? What is it going to take for me to get rid of this besetting sin? And Jesus says it's going to take some bread, and it's going to take some really good bread. And we say, Jesus, give it to me. Are you surprised, or are you shocked, or are you excited that Jesus says, I'm the bread. I'm the one you need. He said, Jesus, but I need someone to love me. And what does Jesus say? Bingo. Found him right here. I will love you. Jesus, I need someone to accept me, someone to show me mercy, someone to show me kindness, someone to hold me. What does Jesus say? He doesn't tell you to do something. He says, come. Come feast. Feast upon me. I'm all you need. Think about that. Let me pray. Father, I pray tonight as we prepare for your table, that we, in fact, would see you as the true bread that comes from heaven, that gives life to all who eat of it. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen and amen.